that song there. You know what great doctrine is there? The newborn king, God in sinners reconciled. The Bible says God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The reconciling wasn't God bending and man bending to meet in the middle. The reconciling was God coming down to sinful man to offer him his righteousness through Christ, to reconcile us, to make us at one, to bring us back into a position of fellowship with God. God and sinners reconciled. When we reconcile with one another, we both give and take a little bit. When we reconcile with God, we come now and reason together. Though our sins are as scarlet, they're made white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they're made as wool. God reconciles. And then Christ is born in Bethlehem, it says. The Christ, the everlasting Lord. What an important truth there. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus didn't come into existence at the manger. The Son of God was always with God. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And so the Son, eternal, became the Son incarnate, born in flesh. And he says, Jesus, pleased as man, which he was 100% man and 100% God, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning what? God with us. God with us. Thomas said, Lord, show us the Father. And he said, how long have I been with you? And you don't recognize me. Amen? And so, God with us. And then of hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. He is. If we know him, we can know his peace with God and the peace of God within our hearts. The Son of Righteousness. Any righteousness that we have comes from him. When we receive Christ as our Savior, God puts his righteousness on us. I draw the little diagram when I share the gospel with people, and I put us on one side, and I'll list our sins. Lie, steal, take God's name in vain. We've all sinned. And I put the bottom of that, the consequences, death in hell. And then on the other side, I put Jesus, and he was honest and obeyed the Father, honored the Father. You put the bottom of that, it's righteous, and of course heaven. It's where he came from, where he went back to. And what God did at Calvary is he took my sin and put it on Jesus, so that if I'd take Jesus as my Savior, God would put his righteousness and heaven on my account. And so the Son of Righteousness, he provided righteousness that he could give us when we receive him as Savior, that we could be acceptable to God. And risen with healing in his wings. Just great words. Born that man may no more may die. Those who are born again will never die. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. Believest thou this? He said. And so, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. If you've had a second birth, you'll never experience the second death. If you've never been born again, you'll experience the second death. And so, great truth in that song. You know what? And we hadn't sung that one as a congregation during the Christmas season this year, and I wanted to make sure that we sang it this morning. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2. This is not a Christmas message. Christmas is over, right? But it's from the Christmas story. Luke, chapter number 2, if you would please. Again, let's look at the verses that we've read. Verse number 21 of Luke, chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child was a male child, would be circumcised on the 8th day, according to Jewish law. And I have read the vitamin K, the blood clotting agent in our blood, is the highest on that day. I wonder how God knew that. Anyway, but for when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Jehovah is salvation, or Savior, Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, there were a certain number of days for purification for a female daughter born, a certain number of days for a male child born for her for the mother's purification. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they, Joseph and Mary, brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which was an offering for those who didn't have a lamb, maybe for those of less income, to buy a or offer a turtle dove or two young pigeons. And so here we see Mary and Joseph, Jesus being circumcised. We see them going, following the word according to the law of Moses. And we see them then offering an offering as they presented Jesus to the Father in the temple. Luke chapter number 2, and then if you would, at verse number 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, it's an important phrase, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed or grew strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year, from Nazareth to Jerusalem, every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So this morning I want to share some thoughts. There are many times that we experience colossal, special occasions. There are many times that we get to do that. Christmas time is one of them. It's a special occasion. There's only one Christmas day, right? And we get up emotionally for them, or our emotions are elevated, our excitement. I read one time one chapter in a book that said, be a childish juvenile adult. In other words, keep all the childishness and your juvenile attitude even into adulthood. Well, I'm that person, okay? And so I have great anticipation for Christmas. I look forward to it. I enjoy it. I enjoy all that takes place. And as I wrote in our letter, one of the great things about Christmas that people get a little happier for is because they're thinking about others and what they can do for them. You can have Christmas 365 days a year if that's your approach, thinking about what you can do for someone else, right? Anyway, we get up emotionally for those special days. The big days in our lives are not the everyday experience, the big game that we'll play in or that we'll watch. Hopefully not as a Michigan fan. The graduation or graduations. The birth of a child, it's a big day. Special birthday, or 16-year-old birthday, or 60-year-old birthday. Anyway, the special birthday, the wedding day. The wedding day, the wedding itself is an experience, and it's an occasion that begins a married life. The married life is the real deal, the occasion that people get up for is the wedding day, Christmas, etc. So we have these special days that we get up for. But my message today is, afterwards. Afterwards. Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for all that you've done for us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation completely in him, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy, the gift that you've offered in and through Jesus. We're thankful for that. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd challenge our hearts, that we might make application from Joseph and Mary once again, that will help us today and in the coming new year. Bless these thoughts, we pray, speak to our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Afterwards, after the big occasion, the emotions drop. The hype is gone. And what happens, what we do afterwards, can make all the difference in the world. Depression or melancholy can set in after the letdown of a big event. Everybody felt that at times? It sure can. What a great sequence of events. With great anticipation, Joseph and Mary had experienced. None of us have experienced anything like they experienced. They had become espoused to each other. Hopefully all of us at least had an engagement, right? If not, we can set you up after the service. They had become espoused to each other. And Mary, of course, that's excitement in and of itself, looking for the time that they would become married as one. And then Mary had been visited by the angel Gabriel. How many of you have had that happen to you? Mary had been visited by the angel Gabriel. The Bible says the angel who stands in the presence of God. The angel, he's the angel who gave Daniel the understanding for the 70 weeks promised concerning Israel, from which we understand that there's 1 week left to be fulfilled, which is the 7 year, the 1 week, 7 year period of tribulation that will happen on this earth. We come to understand that through the revelation that was given to Daniel from Gabriel, the archangel. Gabriel's vision to Daniel included the coming Messiah who would come after 62 weeks or weeks of 7 year periods and then be cut off. Daniel was given that from Gabriel. So Mary had been visited by the angel Gabriel. She learns from him that she will be the vessel to bear the Son of God. She said, my soul magnifies the Lord. I rejoice in God, my Savior. She knew she needed a Savior. Sinner like we are, she knew she needed a Savior. And she was told that she would bring forth that which she would conceive would be the Son of God. What great anticipation and excitement must have dwelled within her heart from that moment on. Her espoused husband finds out that she's expecting a child. And as he was deciding what to do, he got a visit from the angel of the Lord. Thank God for that. And as a result of his visit from the angel of the Lord, they stayed together. He didn't fear to take unto him Mary, his espoused wife, though she was with child before they came together. They stayed together, accepting the working of God in their lives. They were accepting what God was doing. believing she was carrying the Son of God in her womb. And I can guarantee you, they didn't have a full comprehension of all that mean. I think all that meant, I think that we comprehend it more because of the full revelation of Scripture that we have to look back. But they were excited, I'm sure. Great anticipation. Finally, the day of delivery came. And what a day it was. Birth in a stable. But then a visit by the shepherds who'd seen a host of angels bearing tidings of the Savior's birth. And they come to the place where Jesus was born and find the babe in a manger, and they explain to Joseph and Mary what they had seen. What a great day. Joseph and Mary marveled at the things that were told them. The big day had come. They called his name Jesus, like Gabriel told them to. They had brought the promised Messiah into the world. So what happens afterward? There's only one birth. The promise of his coming and the events of his birth had happened. What next? Afterwards. Now what? Well, it's interesting, as we've read in the Scripture, to see what Mary and Joseph did afterwards. You can only anticipate that for 9 months. What were the key ingredients of their actions afterward? They're simple here. We touched on one last Sunday morning in regard to what all was taking place in their lives. What were the key ingredients of their actions afterwards? First of all, they followed God's leading afterwards. The great event had taken place, and now they settled in following God's leading. As I spoke about that last week, mentioned that in order to fulfill the will of God in their lives, they had to follow the will of God. And just as an aside here again this morning, if you want fulfillment in the Christian life, follow the will of God for your life. 99.9% of it is found in the Word of God. We'll touch on that. But they began following God's leading. Of course, in reference, I'm speaking specifically not only of what they did here, but they were told to flee and go to Egypt. They went to Egypt. They were told to come back to Israel. They came back to Israel. They were told, don't hang around in the southern part in Judah, but go back to the northern part. They went back to Nazareth, where they were from. They followed God's leading. The big event was over. Now they were settling in to the mundane, day-to-day things. What do we do after the big thing happened? People who are only moved inside over exciting times will miss out on accomplishing the will of God in their daily lives. Some people, boy, you know, the big event, whoa, I'm up for that. Well, just regular church this week. Oh, I'm going to give to that special offering. But you know what? Just giving God a tithe every week, there's no fanfare with that. I like to read the Bible, so everybody knows I read it, but to read it every day? Well, it's great to listen to God for big things that happen, but should I listen to God for every little detail in my life? Yes. Someone said this. Years ago, and listening to a message, someone said about people that would shout and say hallelujah and praise the Lord. It doesn't hurt, by the way, once in a while. Keeps the preacher aware that you're alive still. Someone said it's not how high we jump or how loud we shout, but how straight we walk when we land that makes the difference. I'm excited, special day. But today is the day the Lord's made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I'll do today what God wants me to do. I'll follow His leading today. We have to be sensitive afterwards, after the big things in our lives, after the special things happen. We have to be sensitive to follow the leading of God in our lives. So important. As I mentioned again last week, they followed God's leading directly as God spoke to them. They did what God wanted them to do, where, when He spoke to them. Let me encourage you. Christmas is over, but God's still going to be leading in your life to do things for Him. And it's not with fanfare of Christmas. It's not a program with the limelights on. But it's something, it may be that neighbor that needs that gospel tract. It may be that person at work that your heart goes out to them and you reach out and touch them in some way spiritually. It may be that child that lives next door that you know is going through a tough time and you go invite them to come to church. Maybe that family that you go knock on their door and you try to share the gospel with them. Follow the leading of God. Joseph and Mary did that afterwards. Secondly, connected with it, but I think a separate point here, as we see in Scripture, they obeyed the Scripture afterwards. Boy, think of all the excitement leading to, and now here he is, he's born. Now what? Follow God's leading, but secondly, obey the Scriptures as it pertains to your life now. They took the baby to the temple to offer sacrifice as was commanded in the Scripture. She followed the Old Testament law pertaining to her purification and the time involved for the birth of a male child. They understood, in presenting the child to the Lord, they understood that Jesus was not theirs. He was God's. The Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. See, children belong to God, amen? And boy, it's wonderful to have a child brought into our arms and, you know, this is your son, this is your son, this is your daughter, this is your son, and you look at them and you're just filled with amazement that such an ugly person can have such a beautiful child. Speaking of myself. Strike that from the record. I was telling somebody the other day, I don't know what we were talking about. You're making me lose my place. But I was listening to R.B. Willette, Ken Willette preach one time, and his son R.B. Willette pastors a large church on the other side of the state. And he was saying how that, talking about teenagers, how sometimes they can do some things that make you wonder, like, where did they come from? And he had told his son R.B., who's now a pastor, to hold the rope on the boat. They had gone fishing. He said, I'm going to go get something. You hold the rope on the boat, on the shoreline. Do not let go of the rope. Ken Willett went and got something, came back, and his son was there holding the rope. But the boat had come loose from the rope, and the boat had floated downstream. And Ken Willett, remember him telling, he told us here when he preached for us one time, he said, I looked at him and I said, how can two smart parents have such an idiot for a son? You know, it's confusing sometimes. We look at it the other way. How can someone like me have such a beautiful child? Now, I haven't forgot where I was. The child was not theirs. We look at the child and we're filled with amazement. And then we sometimes get the idea that this child is my child. It's not. It's God's. When we're blessed with a child, it's our responsibility to bring the child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and return them to God to do what He will with them. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty, so is a child to us. It's, in other words, we're to hone them and to be maturing them so that we can launch them for God's service. Well, they obeyed the scripture pertaining to the child. He was not theirs. He was God's. They presented him to the Lord in the temple at Jerusalem. Exodus 13:2 says, "Sanctify or set apart unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." What you do after you bring the Son of God into the world matters. And they obeyed the scripture. The big events in life must be followed up with the basic steps of obedience, or those big events lose their impact. The simple steps of obedience were as much a part of fulfilling scripture concerning Christ as his birth. It's exciting to think about the manger. It's exciting to think about the shepherds. It's exciting to think about the angels. It's not so exciting always to do the mundane, basic steps of obedience, but if had they not fulfilled the scripture, something would have been wrong with who that person was. They fulfilled the scripture. Their simple steps of obedience was much a part of fulfilling scripture concerning Christ as his birth. He, Jesus, had to fulfill all righteousness for us. Just like when John Baptist was reluctant, you remember, to baptize Jesus. Jesus came to him to be baptized in the River Jordan. Baptism doesn't save. It's an outward sign of submission to God, God's authority. And as once we ask the Lord to be our Savior, we're to be baptized as a symbol of what we've done in our heart and as a, you know, a statement that we're going to die to self and follow the Lord. Baptism doesn't save. Jesus didn't need to be saved. It was a step of righteousness. And when Jesus came to John Baptist, who was baptizing in the River Jordan, preaching repentance under the remission of sins, the Savior is coming. And he was reluctant to baptize Jesus, and Jesus said these words to him, "Suffer," or allow, "it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." See, the steps of obedience in the day-to-day walk were just as important as the fanfare at the birth. What we do afterwards is important. Well, I had a wonderful Christmas and I did wonderful things and had a great time. So what about today? After the big experiences, we need to then take steps of obedience in our day-to-day walk. Don't follow our own ideas. Follow the scriptures. If you notice there in verse 39, it specifically says, "When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew." That means they fed them. He fed him, they clothed him, they changed him. And he waxed or grew strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. They followed the scripture day to day after the big event happened. This is so important with young parents. People tend to rationalize what they do instead of simply taking steps of obedience and submission to the Word of God. Children are the Lord's. Just do what God wants you to do with them. Amen? Sometimes we want to change our lifestyle to fit our children. I think we ought to bring our children along with the lifestyle they need to have. I think it's important. Train them up. Bring them up. Training requires one showing, demonstrating, and doing it with them. Bringing them up is a joint activity. Obeying the scriptures. Doing what God wants us to do. So, afterwards, they followed God's leadings. They obeyed the scriptures. And then the third thing I want you to notice this morning in verse number 41. Would you look there? Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Now his parents, that would be whom? Joseph and Mary, right? Now his parents went to Jerusalem, what? Every year. I'm glad that's in there. They didn't just have a big celebration in the birth of Christ. They obeyed the scripture. And then living 90 some miles away, made that trek down to Jerusalem every year for the feast. Every year. They weren't hit and miss. What we have here is that they established spiritual routine in their lives. So important. Afterwards. You see, spiritual routine is essentially asserting the character to do what we ought to do every day when we ought to do it without the big event. Excitement is what we experience in the big events. Character is what we assert in everyday life. And I do believe that God is more interested in our day-to-day character than how we shine on a big event. One preacher, Dr. Jack Hiles, said this, one of the statements that he said, the greatness is not in the performance, it's in the preparation. For someone to become skilled as a musician, they may have a natural talent. Some people have a natural talent musically. But it only becomes a real skill through the assertion of character. Learning the scales. Learning theory. Applying theory. Going over and over and over again where talent plus character becomes a real skill. And then there's a great performance. Joseph and Mary, they not only obeyed the scripture, but then they began they established a spiritual routine in their family. This was a young couple, folks. They hadn't been married 40 years and walking a certain way like Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were an older couple that had John Baptist. Mary and Joseph were young. I mean, young. And they immediately set out after the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with all the fanfare of the angelic host and the shepherds coming and then the wise men coming, with all the fanfare for Jesus, they said, we are going to obey the scripture as it pertains to us as parents in bringing up the Son of God as a young man. And every year they went to the temple. The hype of the miraculous pregnancy and the glorious birth, and I use the word hype carefully, I'm not demeaning it all. The hype of the miraculous pregnancy and the glorious birth were over, one-time deal. Now the routine life of a spiritual walk was what was needed, and that's what they did. People who depend on high emotion experience to keep them going will not accomplish the things God has for them to do. Those who assert the character to establish spiritual routines in their lives will be the ones who are found faithful when Jesus comes. I'm thankful for people who only go to church on Christmas, Easter, and Harvest Supper. I'll never demean anybody for that. But I really appreciate with sincerity and respect the people who afterwards are in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Afterwards read their Bible and pray. Afterwards apply the scripture to their lives. Afterwards establishing spiritual routine, follow the leading of God. That's what God is looking for in our lives. I love Christmas. It's exciting. But I've found there's 52 Sundays I've got to be prepared for. The hype was gone, but they still had a job to do. No shepherds rehearsing the angels' words every day. No wise men bearing gifts at every turn. Just follow the will of God, obey the scripture, and establish spiritual routines. The actions of Joseph and Mary give us a great pattern for dealing with, are you ready? The afterwards. Christmas is over. 2018 is almost over. And it will take me a whole year to learn the word 2019. I'll be saying 2018 or 1976 or something. I'll be saying 2018 is over. Now I ask you, what will you do afterwards? God leads every day without the hype. Scriptures need to be obeyed in the most basic ways every day, hype or no hype. Spiritual routines must be established to maintain a spiritual walk. And you know what that takes? A nasty word. Schedule. I have found that we won't do what we don't plan to do. I mean, there's some important things in the morning. First, coffee. There's other things that we all know about. And scripture. Scripture. Amen? Schedule. I love it. The other morning, Hudson was there when I was getting my coffee, and I got my coffee, and he said, Bible. He knew that Pappy gets the Bible with his coffee. You can't read it till your eyes are open, right? But anyway, you get the Bible with the coffee. Now, he didn't tell me to do that, and I learned it for the first time. He observed me doing it, and he rehearsed what he'd seen. Schedule. Person gets saved. What a wonderful thing when you say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I realize that Jesus Christ came into the world to live a perfect life for me, to die for my sins, and to rise again victorious over sin, death, and hell. I believe he did that for me, and I believe you offer me eternal life because of what he did, and so I accept him into my heart. What a wonderful thing to get saved. One-time experience. But we all know what happens afterward is important to how God can use us. Get saved. Salvation is realizing that we're sinners and that as sinners we'd be headed to hell for eternity, separated from God. But understanding that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is realizing we deserve hell, but Christ paid it for us. And we receive him as our Savior. Lord, I'm sorry I've sinned against you. I believe you died and rose for me. Come into my heart and save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right at that moment. I remember when I asked the Lord to save me. Outside the guard shack, Fort Hood, Texas, 1976, August 13th. I was there when it happened. I do remember it. Okay. I also remember saying to Miss Whitman, we're going to church. And we're still there. That doesn't save me, but allows me to be used of God. afterwards makes all the difference. I love to experience great blessings, but there's always an afterwards. We get blessings through victories. We get blessings through material prosperity. We get blessings through the joy of giving, but there's afterwards. Afterwards makes all the difference in the world as to how your life really is and how God wants to use you. We can't experience the mountaintop every day. Special things come our way and we have great excitement, but afterwards reveals what we really are. Mary and Joseph, afterwards, followed God's leading. They obeyed the scriptures and they established spiritual routine. Each of us needs that in our lives, or we won't accomplish what God wants us to do. Afterwards. I'll share this personal illustration and I'll close. For a few years in my ministry, I would experience Monday blues. It's hard to understand unless you're a pastor. All week long, you pour your heart and mind into what you're going to be presenting to people. And weekends are not downtime. Saturday, your mind's consumed with it, and you pray, and you're in preparation. On Sunday, if a Bible-believing fundamental preacher, he works pretty hard on Sunday. It's not a one shot and done. Sunday school, morning service, and back then, oftentimes, nursing home service in the afternoon, and lead a choir practice before church, and then preach Sunday night. And that'll take the stamina right out of you. And then, of course, there's somebody that says, I really don't like what you said today. I'm not coming back to church anymore. That doesn't happen often, but when it does, there's the Monday afterwards. Any preacher will tell you he's quit many times on Monday morning. And I remember for a long time, Mondays would beat me up. Because I'd be tired and I'd let my mind get distracted, watch the news. That'll get you. And I'd find myself discouraged on Monday until finally the Lord said, practice what you preach. You need the Lord first, even on Mondays. Amen. And I realized that I was letting the experience from the prior day affect me afterwards and not getting up first and foremost and seek God's leading, get into His Word, establishing that as a routine. And I changed that, amen, by the grace of God, so that on Monday morning I make it a point I'm not going to let myself get distracted because I know the devil will take tiredness and use it against me. Because it's afterwards. You're spent. The party's over. The big event's done. The year has ended. Christmas is over. The new year is starting. Get up and say, Lord, guide me today. Lord, I want to obey your word today. Get in His word. And God, I'm going to follow through with spiritual routine every day. That's how I'd like to approach the new year, as an afterwards, okay? And afterwards. How we need that in our lives, and thank God it was in Joseph and Mary's. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, and Lord, we're thankful for people who illustrate the way it ought to be. They certainly weren't perfect, but they illustrated what we ought to do, how we ought to follow up after the big events in our lives and just settle down in basic routine, guiding ourselves with spiritual principles and schedule for you and obeying your word and following your leadership in our lives. Now, Lord, I know that this will make or break some people this year. I pray that you'd help every person here to establish these things in their mind. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't personally know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven, I pray they'd come to know Jesus once and for all as their personal Savior and have that all-important matter settled. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and just for a moment, just pretend it's me and you alone here. No one else is here except God. How many would say, Pastor, as a Christian, I know I've let things get into my life after big things, after victories. I've let things get in and distract me. But by the grace of God, I'm going to follow the example given us here in Scripture. And I'm going to set out to continue following God's leading in the everyday things of life. To get in and obey the Scripture that relates to me in everyday life. And I'm going to establish the spiritual routines that I need like they did going back every year. I'm going to be faithful in the spiritual routines of life. That God can use me as he wants to use me throughout the year. Preacher, pray for me. Who'd slip up their hand today? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Apply it. Because afterwards is here right now. Pick up a schedule, Bible reading schedule on your way out. Get in the Bible every day. I wonder here this morning how many would say, Preacher, I have to be honest, I do not know 100% certain that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to make sure in my heart about that. I won't come to you, won't call your name out. It's just me and you right now. You'd say, Preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to make certain of that in my soul. Would you just slip up your hand quietly and put it down quietly? I'm not 100% sure that I am saved. I'd like to make sure of that. Anybody here today? How many of you can say, Pastor, by the grace of God, I know I've called on Jesus to be my Savior. I'm trusting him and him alone as my Savior. I know I'm headed to heaven. Just slip your hand up good and high. Amen. Praise the Lord all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. That has to be established first. This morning when we stand and sing, if you're not sure, maybe you just didn't even have the strength to raise your hand. You don't have to be embarrassed. Everybody here has been where you are. If you're not sure that you're saved, you could come forward when we sing in just a moment and say, Preacher, help me get that settled. We'll take the Bible and just make sure you understand. Help you come to know Christ once and for all forever as your Savior. Have eternal life, forgiveness of sin, a home in heaven. Christian, would you make the promise to God as we close out this year, would you make the promise to follow his leadership, to obey his word, and to establish spiritual routine that you'll follow faithfully throughout the year? Would you make those promises to God today? Would you do it today? Make a promise. Write it down that you did this today. I hope you do that when we stand and sing. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this invitation as we invite one another to apply what we've pondered this morning. Pray that you'd have your will and way in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing The Old Rugged Cross. The cross is where we meet the Savior. He came in a manger to die on a cross so that we could have that salvation experience
and live day to day for His honor and glory. As we sing, won't you come? Won't you commit to Him? Brother Jeff, would you sing?
Number 247 in your song.
Chuck texted me last night, and he said he's in Texas. He said be sure to greet everybody for him, and he'll be back here, Lord willing, next week. So I was glad to hear from him. He asked me if I'd ever had a chicken fried steak down in Texas. Yes, I have. They are good. And he showed me a picture of a big old chicken fried steak he was going to have there, and I felt very envious, but I'm sure he'll wear it well. All right. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your blessings, for your love, for your grace and mercy in and through Jesus Christ. I pray that He'd be glorified in our lives, our walk, our talk, what people see in us. And Lord, I pray that in this upcoming year, we would be people who follow the example we've looked at this morning. That in the day-to-day routines, we would be ones who are following your will, obeying your word, and establishing spiritual rituals or routines in our lives that we do day by day for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you'd use us, help us to point others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.